CliffCentral.com.
What's happening? Good morning. We are here. We are live. We're all in the studio. Did you see those new regulations they've brought in yesterday? Government are on the march. They're making rules. They're loving themselves at the moment. Government is back in business, everybody. Yeah. It's time. Now they're going to seize control the way that they've always wanted to. This is the sad reality about a crisis like this, is that if they decide to, and really for the last 5 years, government's become less and less important to people in their lives, something I've spoken about quite a lot. All of a sudden, a major virus comes along and people go, oh, you can have as much of our freedom as you want. Here we go. Just keep us safe from this virus. So you trade it off, you know? You trade some personal liberty for a little bit of security. That's what happens.
I don't know if it's a fair trade.
I don't think it is long term, but hey, we got to look after ourselves. And maybe the responsible thing to do at this point is to band together, let government make whatever recommendations they think are the best recommendations to keep people safe, so we don't have crazy death tolls and crazy infection rates. And maybe we come out of it better. You know, a friend of mine called me last night. He runs an events business. Mm-hmm. He's a smart guy. His business is incomplete. He said that there's zero revenue right now. Mm-hmm. So he has to pay people. He's going to lay off about 10 to 12 people.
Oh, no.
He's going to have to, but he's going to have to stagger it.
Shucks.
So his plan is, like, first of all, you know, cut the people you don't absolutely need right now. Then, further down the line, call everybody together and say, look, you know, this is the business we're in. There is no business like that at the moment because it's all shut down. How much do you need to live? And let's try to cut our cloth according to our needs. Mm. And then if we can't do that, like, more people have to go. And that's just what's going to happen. And I think that's already happening in some businesses. Now with this regulation that government's brought in about, well, it's a proposed regulation. It's in the Government Gazette about how, for example, no groups of more than 50 should be gathered in a public place drinking. You can't order drinks beyond 6 in the 6 evening.
6 p.m., yeah.
And all of that will have a profound effect on restaurants and on bars, yeah, and on places of entertainment, which up to now have been providing everyone with a false sense of security that there is an economy. Mm. And there's been spending in those places, which has propped up the economy. And, you know, places like Cape Town, for example, which exists in this very weird nether realm of people aren't actually earning a lot of money in Cape Town. And it's largely the businesses around food and drink and entertainment that have given the illusion that the economy isn't completely in free fall. Mm. Now those are going to be taken away. It's going to go into a spiral. And that's just a reality we have to deal with. I'm not being pessimistic. The fact is, when historical writers look at this period, there are two ways they'll be able to go. And it's too soon to tell now which way it's going to go. But either those good feelings, those times of excess, mm-hmm, those, you know, people arguing on social media about stuff that doesn't really matter, mm, people having jobs like being influencers, that will be consigned to history. Maybe that time is done. And you've had it already, and those will be the moments that you remember when you're an old man or woman one day. And you'll go, yeah, I lived through the great, you know, 2010s when people had money. And we're going into a state, and perhaps we're going into a period where it'll be austere as all hell. And all the fun stuff's going to be cut out, and we will have to go back to being like super real.
Ooh, then kill me now.
Well, yeah, that's possibly what's on the way. Either that, or we have a very quick and speedy recovery, and the global economy can pick up where it left off, and maybe we're back in business by the end of winter. It's a long time to get through, though.
Sure.
So those are the two scenarios. The one is you're going to have to make it through winter, and maybe we can pick up the pieces. Not the greatest scenario, but it's better than the other one. The other one is we're going to experience something. And people do, they sort of talk about, well, the 1920s and 30s in America with the recession and, you know, Great Depression, and all of that stuff. And it was a time of, and then there was prohibition. And there's so many parallels here. And it's exactly 100 years ago almost.
Yeah, because I'd seen some restaurants almost find a loophole in these whole, you know, public gatherings of more than 100 people or prohibited thing by stating things like, we are sanitizing our tables before and after customers. And, you know, I went to collect dinner out last night, and as I even went to get my takeaway, I had to sanitize my hands when I walked into this restaurant. Some places are even saying, call and reserve beforehand because we'll cap it at maximum 100 people. Now this whole 6 p.m. thing, I think, is going to screw people over even more. I don't know. Like, I also saw Euphonic, who's now, you know, has, I think, more revenue than just being a DJ nowadays, who posted on his social media saying, basically speaking to his colleagues in the entertainment industry, saying, look, we are people who make money by selling time. So as right now, the fact that you can't do that, call your financial institutions now. Mm. Call anyone who you owe now and start making amends. And he was very technical with this whole
approach. Yeah, start putting a plan together.
I was like, wow, this is actually really great advice. Because, I mean, what are you going to do if you were a DJ who gigs every weekend? You don't have that anymore.
So I went to Melrose Arch yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And there's a restaurant that I usually go to. You know, it's always quite packed at around like 7 o'clock. I got there and they were closing up.
Ooh.
7 o'clock.
Ooh.
And the manager's like, the whole day they've only had 2 customers.
And just the running expenses of keeping a store open.
A place like that probably employs 20 people, maybe more.
Goodness.
Maybe more. The big restaurants, 50 people, maybe. You know, you got your kitchen staff, you've got your waiters, you've got managers, you've got people who are, you know, marketing the restaurant behind the scenes. That sometimes they're little family-owned operations. Man, that's going to hit hard.
Yeah, this is a good chance for us to rethink how we live. You know, once again, what you've just spoken about is, we're only thinking about it through an economic lens. Well, let's be nicer to each other. We're not short of resources on planet Earth.
Shock, horror, gasp. Mbulelo being optimistic and human.
What do you mean, though?
It's really the end.
This is the dystopian hell that you've imagined.
Well, like, what, Jeff Bezos doesn't have less money now. Like, he doesn't need to have $300 billion, or we don't need trillion-dollar companies.
Careful, because you're sounding a lot like our friend Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, but you see, the problem is we can only think in – we have this confusion of economic progress is human progress. The two are – there's a clear dichotomy between the two. Mm. So this is a chance for us to think, is economy –
That's not true.
Well
– because if there are rich people in society and there is growth and people have – plenty of income to waste on goods.
Sure.
They waste it on goods which get cheaper than for people lower down the line.
Well, that presumes that without...
Like TVs, for example. Look at the only reason TVs are cheap now by comparison with what they cost 10 years ago for the same thing. I mean, you used to buy those huge things that filled up a room and they weren't even that good. And they cost like hundreds of thousands of rands. Now you can get a beautiful LCD or
HD ready,
ultra HD TV for like a 20th of the price of one of those things. And that's because rich people bought those, enabling the research to be done to make a better TV cheaper for everybody else.
Sure, that presumes that without consuming, we can't be happy. That's all you're presuming, is that human beings can only consume in order to reach what we call eudaimonia or happy, fulfilled life. So why do we just presume consumption is the only way to live?
I think that a lot of people think that, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is this gives us a chance.
I'm not saying that's entirely true, but...
I say it's true.
CC, I think so.
Have you ever seen a sad person on a jet ski?
Medical science?
What of it?
Well, again, something that has only developed to the point that it has because there's been an abundance of cash for research, development, and all of those things. That doesn't happen in states that don't have extra money.
Sure, but I mean, that doesn't mean it's the only way we can live is to consume. There are other ways. Maybe this is a chance to rethink it. Mm. The fact that we're not even willing to consider, like...
No, I think we are willing.
I don't know.
This is my whole point. I think everybody's willing to consider that just because that's going to become their reality now.
Yeah, it's okay. And people drink too much anyway. Slow down.
How?
Yeah.
When did we jump to that?
Africa drink too much.
I think you're probably right.
So it's okay. It's okay that we close at 6. This is a good time to rethink. Oh, my wife doesn't like me because I drink too much. Well, maybe you rethink that.
You know we'll always find a way around it, right? Yep.
Please ask Bulawayo to not use such big
words. Bulawayo!
Some people feel left out. I'm driving. I can't Google these words, Grant. Well, Grant, the word he used was eudaimonia, which is a philosophical term. The ancient Greeks used to believe that that was the apogee or the apex of happiness.
Yeah, a life well lived, or yeah.
Why do you encourage such nonsense? No, it's been interesting to
Bulawayo.
Me.
Yes.
It's not great.
And he states very factually, I'm driving, I can't Google these things. I've been monitoring what sectors are doing well amidst the coronavirus, and particularly in the States. I saw that smaller delis are doing well. Delis and bakers are doing well. Particularly because they offer delivery, like door-to-door delivery. A lot of gun sales over the past couple of days. A lot of car rentals over the past couple of days. Because in states like New York, where a lot of people just commute over train, now people don't want to be stuck in a tube with tons more people, so more people are renting. And also a lot of rentals outside of the city, so in neighboring cities of these big metropolitan places, people are now trying to get out of the city and renting places behind that. So it's interesting how, you know, we're all making amends and trying to live differently through this.
But you see, there are non-essential things that we've become so used to that we could probably do without. Like we could do without all these stupid late night shows. In America, they've basically shut most of them down, and nobody's any the poorer. Hasn't really made your life that much better or worse. So you can't laugh at Jimmy Kimmel tonight. Mm. Ooh, well, we'll find something else to do, like actually talk to our families.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh you know oh what oh I mean? Oh no! But you know, I found entertainment in the worst place ever yesterday.
Well, there's so much. You can start trawling through YouTube now, and you will have plenty of time to survive the pandemic.
It's so stupid. I have never even been a wrestling fan, but the WWE is still around. And out of all of these shows, the WWE is still continuing with their wrestling shows. Picture and try to envision, try to hear the WWE without an audience. They're still filming without an audience. So you have these big guys, and we know how dramatized it all is. And they're like, yeah, can you feel it?
There's nobody, no response.
And there's no crowd.
It's a dead studio. I found myself easily for 20 minutes watching these clips going, oh, shame, this is sad. So we still need entertainment, please.
Yeah, we'll just do it differently.
It's a $4 billion industry, that WWE. Vince McMahon's turned into a $4 billion a year industry.
Yeah.
What else have you realized that you don't really need?
Eddie says, I'm really bleak. Africa Burns cancelled. Gareth, next time you will come with me to this amazing dimension. Knowing you, it's not really your thing. I'm a massive burner. It'll be awesome to go with you. Blondie Blue Eye. Well, you just put me off. If I was going to go. I'm with Grant. Fancy words only make you look intelligent. Ooh, that's Hugo. Gareth, don't be such a tech and economic utopian. I love how Mbulelo's leftist credentials are coming out. That's from Toby there.
But I've always said this.
Mother Earth is resetting. I'm considering getting a tractor to plow my backyard so that I can at least have a cabbage to feed my family in the next 3 months.
And turnips.
Qantas and Jetstar, the airlines, have announced that 2/3 of their 30,000 employees will temporarily be stood down from late March until the end of May. And SAA is still trying to beat a path to to jobs for their people. I mean, SAA, give it up. Like, SAA is running as a person on crutches with no legs during a race with other one-legged people through quicksand, and they still think they've got a chance. Really, that's the truth. So I'm sorry, if you work for SAA now, you better start looking for something else to do. It's done. No union can protect you. It's finished. There's no way for SAA to see it through this. Not a chance. If other airlines that have been run well, where management and politically appointed people have not stolen everything, and they're going under, forget about it. Please check. I have a small plumbing business in Cape Town. Business is running as usual. The past few days has been quite wonderful on the roads. There's been less and less traffic. I went to a sushi restaurant with my wife after work yesterday. There was barely any human life around. It's fantastic. Life without humans is great. See, this is the kind of business that will carry on, and well done to you. Easy.
Well,
good for you. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And plumbers should be more important than TV talk shows. They should be. Because you know what happens in people's lives if their shitter breaks, as opposed to if their TV doesn't work? Guess
shit
which one has more
hit the fan?
Guess which one has more dire consequences for them? The plumber is always more important than the entertainer. Always. I'm glad your sushi restaurant's still open. That's good news. Maybe our crime will go into the decline. I don't know. I think sometimes when times are tough, things get more difficult. People steal more. Good morning, guys. Thanks for keeping us people in Europe connected to our home. I really don't think I'd be okay now without you. Knowing you can't go home even if you want to is a strange feeling. Now, that must be horrible.
Yeah.
I haven't slept as I've been taking it all in. The authorities closed most of the tube stations in London where I am overnight, except for the fact that Boris said yesterday he will not lock London down. It feels like they've been preparing to spring it on us. I've been home isolated for a week now with all the COVID-19 symptoms. The UK stopped testing except for hospitalized cases, so I don't even know for sure if I have it.
Wow.
On the mend, but it's not a fun illness for asthmatics. Thankfully, I had my inhaler, and those are hard to find this week. Keep safe. Wow. Holy shit, Declan. This is hectic.
Yeah.
Hopefully, South Africa won't go into lockdown, but you'll value every cent a lot more going forward. So much love for you guys. Thanks for keeping us connected, Declan. He moved there in February. How's that for timing?
Mm. Oh, no. Oh, like last month.
Yeah. And you see, this will...
Oh, shucks.
It is a worldwide thing. Like, there's no country in the world that is riding this wave and making fantastic hay while the sun shines. They're all struggling. It's not as if there's one rich country that's going to buy up all the bonds of all the other countries and save the world economy. You know, that's just not going to happen. So anybody who thinks that it's nice to see a little equity in the world, well, disease doesn't take any prisoners. You know, this is where everyone gets treated the same by a disease. It's funny, I spoke to someone last night, and I was asking them, okay, seriously, what? Because there's a lot of flippant nonsense going around too, and we've all been joking about the toilet paper buying and all of that stuff, but what should you really be fearful of? If you have old parents, parents over 60 years old, if you have family or relatives who are immunocompromised, if you have family or relatives who have TB maybe, if you have people who are asthmatic in your family, those are people to worry about. In the short term and the medium term, the long term we can worry about economic consequences and jobs, and because that's all going to come. But right now, it's like, okay, well, who do we need to protect the most from this disease, and who do you not want to spread it to? Because if you're not in those categories, if you're younger than 50, you're healthy, you don't have any respiratory illnesses, chances are you'll be fine. You know, you'll a month or two from now, you'll be laughing about the coronavirus, unless you've spread it to someone who is one of those people in those categories, in which case you could be part of the reason they're not there anymore in 2 months' time. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's kind of the only immediate thing you should be thinking about. And therefore, like this friend who has this event business who called me last night said, he said he's actually in favor of all these draconian rules.
Oh.
For now. He says as long as in the short term we can get a handle on this thing, we can do what needs to be done, then he's in favor for everyone being regulated for like 2 months. Everybody must just behave themselves. Do what you got to do. Mm. Follow the rules. Make sure that you don't spread the virus. You know, don't go out and drink in a bar. What the hell for? And he said, if that happens for a month or two, maybe it will be good. And we can reset things after that.
Hmm.
So it's something to think about. I don't know. I'm a little bit worried. People saying chronic medicine, get it now before the lockdown. But Damon said quite rightly yesterday, you can't get like 3 months chronic medicine in advance. You just can't do that. Plus, there is no running water, so washing hands and running water for 20 seconds is a waste there, because he's in Limpopo, this guy.
Yo.
Oh, this is Pihlang. He says, I'm off to Limpopo today to go and look after my parents and kids for the next few weeks. How will I self-isolate and quarantine in a household with 8 people of all ages? You see, this is the reality.
The reality, yeah.
Now, this is what South Africa should be worried about. Like, Pihlang is probably fine. He's not old. He's healthy. He's now going into a house with people of all ages, really young, really old. And if it hits that house, it will, because it's very contagious, it will infect everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's got to now deal with this. They discuss what they will do. Listen to this. What is happening in the UK, an official lockdown from Monday. The military has been called in to monitor the public's activities and ensure they stick to regulations. We're about to climax and there's no coming down from this one. That's from Old Jay. They discuss how we will do without how they will do it without notice. Yeah, you see, in Spain and Italy at the moment.
This is serious.
In Spain and Italy right now, it's pretty draconian. I mean, it's military on the streets. Ask people, where do you live? If you're more than 3 kilometers from where you live, they take you to jail.
Oh my goodness!
You should not be more than 3 kilometers from your house, and there should be no reason that you are traveling. In Italy or Spain at the moment, they just don't accept any excuse.
We've been through this. I don't know why people put themselves at the center of society all the time. It's like, it's not about you right now, but it's too far because we're so individualistic. That's all we care about. Me.
Oh, this is crazy.
The alternative is just as horrible to people like me. I mean, to imagine that we have to give up those individual rights to a state, because you're not giving them up to other people. Mm. You're giving them up to a state. Mm. That's what you've got to be afraid of, because you don't often get those rights back when you give them to a state. States like to hold on to those.
They do.
So there's no upshot long term for that. If the government get involved now and they say, all right, this is the period. There's a sunset clause, right? This thing ends in August. Mm. Cool. You know what you're in for. And if you don't like it, you can go and evacuate to some far-flung place where you don't have to follow rules.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Come back and...
Yeah, it's a good point. But it's not 1940. It's like, if we knew how to be a community right now, we've got social media. We could organize so quickly, but we don't know. All we think about is ourselves. If we were thinking community-based...
Well, maybe a lot
Maybe this is a chance to rethink. Is how we can connect.
If you think that's a good thing. Yeah. In fact, community may be exactly the reason this thing spreads, but that's a whole
story. Yeah, it's very odd for me not to have weekend plans, but I'm going indoors.
Me too. I think it's going to push a lot of people apart rather than bring a lot of people together. And I think that's sad, because really there is a chance for us to do things, even if it's virtually.
Mm.
But I think this isolating is going to make people less dependent on each other. It's going to make people more suspicious of each other. It's going to fragment communities rather than pull them together. Seriously, I think that's where it's headed. So it's not a good argument for the collectivists, I'm afraid. We need to learn to live simpler. We've made life too complicated, says Brendan. I just hope the plumber takes necessary measures to not get infected by shit from infected clients. There were reports from China that says it is present in patients' poo.
Oh.
Wait, really? All right, and then Eddie's just clearing up. Gareth, don't take me seriously. Don't flatter yourself. I wasn't flirting.
Hi, Eddie.
I haven't thought about you since the last message, but
Eddie,
okay.
You see, tone is very important over text, because your text is one thing, but in my mind, you whispered, blondie blue eyes.
Are you going to
which
talk...
Which freaked me out.
Are you going to talk about the public sector strike and how irresponsible union bosses are during the burning platform? Yes, we will be, Lynn. That's a very good point. Morning, guys. This is a good message here from Vongani. He says, I'm in a cardiothoracic surgery training situation, so we are expected to help out if there is a disaster, but will they be able to protect us since we are the highest risk population? Will they give us the best medical care if we get sick? Scary times, Vongani. Because as you've said before many times, Mbulelo, we need doctors. in a time like this. And doctors go to the top of the rank in terms of people who are important in a society at this stage.
It will become crystallized in all of our minds what's important right now and who's important. Like, you're in marketing? Yeah, well, who cares? You're a surgeon. Yeah.
Mervin pointing out that casinos are still open. Business as usual.
The house always wins.
Really?
Ugh, what a germy place.
I can imagine no worse place to spend my time right now than in a casino.
Those carpets that haven't been changed in 25 years. You have to go and push buttons and pull on levers. Oh, everyone is smoking in there, so everyone's coughing and spluttering about.
And touching all those buttons and touching all those levers.
Those old school beer jugs that haven't been changed since de Klerk was president. If you go into any casino, just sign a contract. Just sign a will, a new will.
And remember, in the big secret to them is no windows, right?
Yeah.
Like casinos, right. There's no windows, no dark. Clocks.
Good point. So there isn't even fresh air coming in.
Yeah.
Well, someone sent me a little graphic yesterday about what surfaces this thing lives on for the longest time.
Ooh, I'm itching now.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so the worst surface for it to be on is 5 days, plastic. So on any plastic surface, this coronavirus can last for 5 days without dying. Paper, 4 to 5 days. Glass, 4 days. Wood, 4 days. Steel, 48 hours.
Wow.
Aluminium, 2 to 8 hours.
Oh.
Surgical gloves, 8 hours. So the best things there are obviously metals.
Imagine Michael Jackson was still alive.
Well,
he's all plastic.
The coronavirus had just spread to him first.
Yeah.
I mean, still it is, even though he's dead.
Yeah, yeah. No,
deep underground. The coronavirus has found him. Coronavirus is like,
can you guys respect the dead, please?
Can this bug just make zombies already?
Thank you.
You see, now that would be fun. Morgan, good point. Morning team, I started working from home today and I woke up at 6 so I can listen to you and knock off early. Yay.
Ooh.
All right, Cabello. Well, I hope we're not depressing you with some of this news, but we've got to keep you up to date with what's going on.
I do have a positive.
Oh, you do? Good, bring it on.
You know what I love is people that started a couple of years ago future-proofing themselves. So I have a pretty successful comedian friend who was having a whinge at me last night, and I said, you know who I love right now is Bill Burr. So if you haven't heard his podcast, he started it about 2 years ago, and everyone laughed, and I remember people making fun of him. And now he can continue doing that. He's making money off it already, and he puts his numbers up. So he's making like $30,000 a month off his podcast that he does alone in his house. So you got to future-proof yourself. Right. So there are these opportunities, which is quite cool.
The coronavirus dashboard this morning. People all over the world infected, 219,575. When you look at those maps, doesn't it make you think of like a still from one of those sci-fi movies?
Yeah.
The virus is spreading, Mr. President. What are we going to do?
Well, it looks like we've got a problem. The economy is tanking.
So, obviously, China's still worst hit. 80,000 confirmed infections. So far, 3,245 deaths. Those numbers are small, hey? Really, I mean, automobile accidents, you see more death numbers than that in a year. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, the usual flu, the normal old, every year, here it comes, oh, I got hit with the flu, I'm not coming to work this week. That shit kills more people than that. In a much shorter space of time, by the way, than this coronavirus. But we're looking at the numbers in total. It ticked over 200,000 yesterday. And in some places, it's growing faster than it's receding. In other places, it's receding. I mean, like Singapore have done a tremendous job. They're probably the best case example. They had 313 confirmed cases, zero deaths, 117 people already recovered, and none in a serious condition.
But they have rules.
Big time.
They have rules.
Oh, big time, yes. Yeah, people hold them up as some kind of paragon of capitalism. They prove that politics and economics don't have to be related because that place is full of regulation.
In fact, are best served when they are separate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an argument for that. Italy is struggling. They've got 35,713 cases at the moment of infected people. And we are sitting down at, let me just find us, because we're quite a way down. This is good news. We're above the United Arab Emirates, but below Peru. We've got 116 on the government record. Now, we don't know. It could be more than that, but let's go with official statistics. 116 infected people, zero deceased, zero recovered, zero serious. So that could be, I mean, if we can keep that number under 200 for the next week, we would be doing really well. Because you know what they say, right? You know how the law of exponentiality works. If things are doubling every day, if you've got a pond full of lily pads, and you start off with one, and the next day it's two, the next day it's four, the next day it's eight, and the next day it's 16, on the day that the lily pad pond is half is full of lily pads.
So totally covering the surface
totally
of
covered.
The pond?
Uh-huh. At what point was it half covered?
What?
On the day that it is totally covered,
give me zero.
How many days ago was it half covered?
I just saw you blow Sia's mind right there.
Well, the day before.
Yeah.
The day before it's full, it's half full. Think about that. That's scary. And that's how it works. So on a day where everybody's infected, on what day was only half the population infected? The question, the answer is the day before. So you think about things that way, it kind of puts everything in perspective.
Is this a philosophical thing or a maths thing?
No, that's maths.
Regardless, it's confusing.
Yeah, it's like doubling every day.
We'll
look into it after the
show. We'll explain exponentiality after the show.
Morning to the best podcast in the world. Have you guys ever thought about how you'll continue creating content should you be on lockdown? Yeah, I'll fire everybody and do it from home.
No. I was actually.
I thought about that.
It's capitalism.
I recorded an interview at home. I mean, Sia, you know, I'm still going to need Sia, not so much Mbulelo.
You don't say that.
We probably need Mfundo because he's putting out the podcast. We probably need Pinky. I think Mbulelo is the first to go.
Mbulawayo.
Oh, by the way, Mbulawayo. I've already told Leanne not to come in tomorrow because she's kind of high risk. She's first of all, I mean, she's a real hypochondriac, and I love Leanne, but if Leanne gets sick, we're going to know all about it. So I've said to her, just don't worry to come in.
Given her track record.
Yeah, exactly. She's like
the most, actually about to
she's
get
prone. So told her to take the day off. But cool. Yeah, I have thought about that, and we could probably do a lot of what we do from home. So there are things that we don't need to be here physically present for, and we can still create great stuff, and we can do that differently, maybe. That's what I was saying at the beginning. When we look back on the period before this coronavirus, and we see that there was a certain trajectory, right? A world trajectory. When we look back on it, and historians do write the story, they're not necessarily going to say it's worse afterwards, but they'll say it's different. The way people behave will be different. The way we'll treat each other might be different. The way we prioritize, you know, like, for example, I don't think that a lot of the people who are in society who think they're important really are. We talked about plumbers earlier. Plumbers are essential. Mm. People who paint beautiful artworks are not essential. Do you know what I mean?
It's nice.
Yes, they're a luxury.
But?
It's nice, but yeah, we don't need them. So singers are not going to be as important when they can't fill a room because you're not allowed to have more than 50 people in.
Aww.
So they're going to lose their income.
But the other day I was having a bad day and then I went into Instagram and John Legend was doing a whole Instagram live concert to make us all feel better.
That's clever though, because you can do it online, right?
Mm.
But
he
in
was
person,
taking song requests.
Like going to an event. Those things were becoming more and more competitive. They were becoming bigger and bigger and better. And you know, people were going to these enormous, like, light and dance and singing and entertainment shows. And now, I don't think that's going to be on anyone's list.
I feel nothing in giving ourselves a pat on the back. You know, Cliff Central as a leader in what we did is that, or what you and the crew did, is that innovators can always pivot because they're ahead of the curve, you know? So, I hate to mention his name.
Funny enough, this is the guy that I spoke to yesterday's whole point. His name is Alex Lazaro. He's a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley. He's just written this book about how businesses are changing and what kinds of businesses will lead the way. We'll put that interview out soon.
Cool.
But he basically addresses this. So I'm not trying to shortcut you, but I am because we've got to get to news. So let's get to the headlines.
I'll be fired after the show. So
you're fine. Don't worry. I would tell I you know the first place I'm honest is right here on the show. So I was kidding. All right.
Kidding.
No, I was. I actually was kidding. Let's go to EWN first of all for this morning's first story. The nursing union has threatened a strike. You know, guys, this is precisely the kind of behavior that's not going to help you in the long run. Mm. The government is scrambling to find ways to fight the spread of coronavirus, and there's a nursing union that's threatening to withdraw its members from hospitals. Now, I understand if you're a union that looks after nurses and nurses are at the front line, you've got to protect their rights. The Young Nurses in Daba trade union claims members are not being equipped or trained properly to deal with COVID-19 cases. So it's not just a dispute over money, which is usually the only time that any union gets involved. But healthcare professionals are at the coalface of the fight against the virus, and the union said that its members had not been trained and equipped to respond to the spread of the virus and have been relying on media for information. See, that's why I'm saying, guys, you're not helping anybody. And I mean government. They've got to equip these people. This is where I don't care if we have to borrow money. Money that we really can't afford to borrow. But we've got to make sure we've got nurses. And that and they're not asking for a bigger salary. They're asking for equipment and training. Mm. This is a very reasonable demand to make at this point. So,
yeah.
And the unions, by the way, usually do not cover themselves in glory. In this case, I'm really sympathetic. Aren't you?
Mm. Completely. And don't you think this is also, I know this might sound counterintuitive, but I think this is such a great thing to crystallize in South Africans' minds just how deep the incompetency is. Hmm. If our nurses need to come and say to us, guys, we want to serve, but Cyril and the boys.
Over 8% of all the confirmed cases in Italy are healthcare staff. 8%.
Oh my gracious.
So if you're a healthcare professional, you really are front and center, and you're standing in the very first line of our army against this disease. Let's take these people's requests seriously, please. In other news, because there's lots going on that doesn't involve corona, although it's all been pushed to the bottom of the pile, pastors, again, sometimes these are the people who are meant to help you through a crisis. These are the people who are meant to give you peace of mind and make you feel like you're part of a community and you're not alone and there's a power out there that's looking after you. Well, not this pastor. There's a guy called Tumelo Muketi. He's allegedly conned his church members into handing over R1,500 each, promising them their investment would yield a handsome return. And guess what? It's a scam. It was only when the investors tried to collect on their profits that they realized the pastor had absconded. He has been caught, though. He's 29 years old. He's been arrested for allegedly masterminding a R2 million investment scam. And he appeared in the Palm Ridge Specialized Commercial Crimes Court this week, where he was granted bail of R3,000. That's a bit low.
Yeah, that is quite low.
I mean, you know, come on, Pinky. You're in law. You know that if someone is a scammer and they're a flight risk.
Exactly.
You make it like R2 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep the guy in jail.
Yeah. No, that's way too low.
And he's already absconded with money, so he's going to do it again.
Mm. Disappear into thin air.
And then what is going to happen to these poor people? Same as with VBS. Ah, Shem. Poor people. We're going to go on TV and say how dreadful this is, but nothing will be done. And Julius and Floyd and company will spend the money on bottles of champagne. That's what will happen. This pastor's probably already having bottles of champagne with his friends. All right, and in other news, a grade 9 pupil from Sizwe Secondary School in Germiston, east of Johannesburg, has died after being stabbed, allegedly by a fellow pupil. It's always crazy when you hear these stories. Because we had some rough people at my school, but my God, we didn't stab each other.
Goodness.
So you got to look out. If you're at school now, it's not just about learning. It's about stopping yourself from entering situations where you may be stabbed. The Gauteng Education Department said on Wednesday the alleged attacker was a grade 11 pupil. Incidents reported to have happened 2 streets away from the school, and the department has condemned the incident. Well, this did happen in Germiston.
There we go.
Expected.
It's a rough place.
Yeah, you should lead with that.
I promise you, we are sympathetic people. And then the Hawks have bust a guy, finally, the Hawks, for helping dangerous robbers to escape. You remember we spoke about a story not so long ago. The Hawks have arrested a 40-year-old man from Whittlesea in the Eastern Cape for aiding and abetting four dangerous suspects who escaped from custody. Provincial spokesperson Captain Annalisa Ngakani said that the suspects escaped on the way to court earlier in March. Patrick Mshululu of the Dongwe village was arrested on Monday. Investigators discovered he had allegedly assisted these criminals. They overpowered two police officers, seized their firearms, and used their police van to escape.
Oh, wow.
You got to have some balls, man. So that's what happened there.
Where did he think he was going to go with the police van?
So sometimes you just need wheels. And then, I mean, because anywhere you go with that, that's bound to be like a red flag. You'd think. Anyway. And then this is a story which is really, I don't think it's as important in the light of what's going on in the world, but South African police are hunting for the gunman who killed one of its top rhino poaching investigators in an ambush. Obviously, it's a horrible story. You know, you don't want a rhino poaching investigator to be taken out, but Lieutenant Colonel Leroy Brewer's killing was a senseless and huge loss, according to Police Chief General Kehla Sithole. He had always excelled in cracking complex cases, particularly related to rhino poaching. South Africa has seen a fall in poaching in recent years after stepping up efforts to protect the animals. A total of 594 rhinos were killed for their horns in 2019, compared with 769 in the previous year, and 1,028 in the year before that.
Goodness.
So we were just starting to make a little bit of headway, and this Colonel Brewer was killed. He was named the best detective in the Hawks in 2016, an elite police unit, of course, investigates organized crime, and this guy was one of the best. He investigated poaching syndicates in the Kruger, as well as syndicates involved in ambushing armored vehicles, transporting cash from banks. So for those people who don't care about rhinos, he was still doing stuff to protect humans as well. He was driving to work when he was shot dead by gunmen with high caliber weapons on Tuesday. He died on the spot. Oh, apparently they've got a multidisciplinary team of investigators, and they've been told not to rest until the killers are brought to book. We can only hope. And those are the five big stories of the day. Those are the big headlines. So we've got 116 infections in South Africa of coronavirus. It did jump quite a bit in the last 2 days. The 17th, that was 2 days ago, 23 new cases, and yesterday, 31 new cases. So the graph is not going the way we want it to. Right now, you want it to be one new case compared to yesterday. So, in other words, it's almost, you know, starting to recede. So you want 1/1. In other words, yesterday's number is at the bottom, today's number is at the top. You don't want the number on the top to be more than the number on the bottom. Otherwise, you're going backwards.
And it's not all doom and gloom. I understand China have closed whether it's the first or the last hospital because the numbers are too low. The new infections are too low. So we've got a model for how we could do it.
Yeah, potentially.
You know,
I mean, there are a couple of models that are being considered. I don't think we have the wherewithal to clamp down. And you remember, those people in Wuhan are still locked into their houses. They have not left their houses. Not left the city of Wuhan, their houses.
Houses, yeah.
So you can only do that in a country like China where you have total control. But they have closed down, you're quite right, their last coronavirus hospital because there are not enough new cases to support them.
So it's possible.
And doctors in India and in Denmark and in South Korea are busy figuring out whether or not there is a potential antibody that can be used to fight this virus. There are also drugs that they're using. I don't know if you'll know what these mean, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. Lopinavir, ritonavir, oseltamivir, which sounds a little bit like the Tamiflu drug, along with chlorphenamine, which are being used to treat people who are suffering from COVID-19, and they're going to suggest the same medicine, globally. It's having some positive effects on patients in those countries. And then, I mean, a 103-year-old Chinese grandmother in the good news has made a full recovery after being treated for 6 days in Wuhan in China. Apple's reopened all their stores in China.
Mm-hmm.
South Korea, the number of new cases is declining. By the way, the number of cases in Italy is only as high as it is, they say, because they've got a very old population. Mm. So the Italian population, old people. There's something to think about. A few messages we want to get to before the burning platform this morning. The Reserve Bank of Australia has cut interest rates to a record low of 0.25%. Now, what do we make of that? I mean, the reality is, why would anyone save money if you only get interest of 0.25% on that money? That doesn't make sense to people. But then most of us don't have money to save, so that's the reason that we don't mind if they bring it right down, because we probably owe more than we have. Sonwabisi Siwela is living in New York City, and Sonwabisi is on the line at the moment. We're going to talk to them, find out what's going on over there. Sonwabisi, are you there?
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. Well, I'm good, I guess. I'm good.
Are you in lockdown in New York City?
I mean, I might as well be in lockdown, hey? I might as well be in lockdown. I've currently been working from home for the past week and a half. I mean, people, friends of mine that are still going to work, they are not using the subway. They're either Ubering, biking to work, or they are hiring cars. So that has changed.
When you hit the streets of New York, I mean, that place is usually bustling. You cannot make your way through the city without touching 100 people on your way from one to another. What's it like at the moment?
So it's, you know, New York vibe. It's peak hour constantly.
Sure.
New York has flipped over. It's off peak. There's no one in the streets. Like, there is no one in the streets. Restaurants are closed. The city is not buzzing at all. If people do go to restaurants, they, like, call in, they pick up their orders, and they leave.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's yeah.
Are you telling me Times Square is deserted, like in the movies, when they've got some kind of apocalypse?
So, you know how all New Yorkers never want to go to Times Square?
Uh-huh.
Now, everyone almost wants to go to Times Square to see, is this actually true? Is no one really in Times Square? So, because, like, it's always busy, and now there's no one there. So, we all want to go and see, but obviously we don't.
What type of business are you in?
So, I'm in the marketing business. So I work for an agency. So, we are in marketing. And because it's an agency, we can work remotely. And so I've had the fortunate opportunity to stay home and work from home.
What does it mean for you in terms of groceries, going to the chemist, stuff like that? Are those shops still open? Have retail stores shut down? I mean, New York is always a center of shopping and business and trade. And what do we know about, you know, the shops on the street, for example?
Okay, so luckily for me, I live with Americans, and it's been like a culture shock in terms of like how a South African reacts to a crisis like this versus an American. I'm very chilled, and they were like panicking from day one. So we are sorted in terms of like having supplies for the next 2 months. Literally, the person I live with has literally like counts the slices of bacon that are left every day, because we have to, this food that we have has to like sustain us for the next 2 months. Wow. So when we went to the last time I went to the shops was on Friday, literally all the non-perishable food, there was nothing there. The people, like everyone is like looking for the same thing and wanting the same thing, obviously. So nothing is there. The people that work at the shops are wearing masks, they've got gloves, and they've got this weird thing of like, they don't want you to give the money in their hand. They want you to put it down in the counter, which I don't understand. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to ask. Everyone is freaking out and panicking. You just go into the shop, you take what you want, and you leave.
Wow. What are you doing to entertain yourselves? You can't go out.
Well, I can't go out, but like the people I live with are very like creative. So that we're going to start planting. We're going to start a vegetation garden.
Yeah. On the balcony or something? Have you got a space for veggies?
Yes. So, yeah. So, on a balcony, that's what we're going to do. We've also, like, set up on things. Instead of, like, watching Netflix, we're actually going to try to brush up our skills, Excel, learn different things on the internet, take courses. So, those are the things we say we're going to do, but we'll see if it's actually going to happen.
Are there any things you guys want to know about life in New York during the epidemic? Pinky, Bulelo?
At this point, I can't think of any questions. She's covered everything.
Have you introduced him to the thought of a fire pool yet?
The thought of fire pool.
You remember Jacob Zuma had a fire pool at his house?
For emergencies, yeah.
For emergencies.
I don't know how that's going to help you during a coronavirus outbreak, though, in Mbulelo, with fairness.
Well, it's entertainment.
I mean, no. We're just thinking of methods to survive, methods to make food and, yeah, to just survive.
And tell me, how is the East Coast, I mean, you're on the East Coast, how are they responding, I mean, economic and also educational hub? How are the universities responding? We've had some interesting responses here from our universities. How are the big universities, New York University, etc., responding to those needs of their students? Has that come out?
So obviously being a foreigner that lives here, like my main concern, things that I've been like looking up is like how they're treating like international students. And I've found out that at least the internet, as much as like the people that live off from the United States, they could go home. But the people that like can't go home and the international students, they can stay in the dorms and they'll still have like, they can stay there. They'll still have food services for them, you know. So it's not like a thing where they've been thrown out or where they've been shipped to go back home. They can still stay here because no one knows how long, if you go home today, if you go home in the next week, then you're going to maybe come back in 2 months or 3 months. Who knows?
Sure.
So I think the option of like having the option of whether you want to go home or you can stay, like it's a good thing to have. I mean, I'm also in the mindset of like, you know, should I go home? Should I come back home? Should I stay here? But then I'm like, Tuma Mina, make America great again. Where do I stay? You know,
some stay right there. Hey?
Sonobisi, I just got a picture here from Katri, who says she's got a client who lives in New York, and they sent a picture of 6th Avenue yesterday morning, yesterday afternoon at 3 p.m. And it looks like it's deserted. There's one cab in the middle of the road, one truck delivering stuff. And we're talking about like right opposite Radio City Music Hall, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just dead quiet. It's unbelievable. I've never seen New York like that in all the times I've ever been there, even at 3 in the morning.
Right. Yeah. And like even the people that are hiring cars, because I've got a friend of mine that was like, they need to go into office, so they're going to hire a car. I was like, how are you hiring a car? How are you going to get around in New York City? And she's been saying to me, there's absolutely no traffic on the road. So she's been getting to places like in less than like 20 minutes, which is like unheard of. Like in New York, you'd rather walk.
Yeah.
Like your first option is always to walk.
Right.
Before anything else.
Well, that may still be a good idea for social isolation reasons. Mm. All right. Well, listen, you look after yourself and let us know if anything really interesting happens over there. We love to hear from everybody. And this goes for anyone anywhere in the world who's got an interesting take on the place that they're in and how stuff has changed in that place. Some places more dramatic than others. And we really appreciate you giving us some insight into what's happening in New York.
No problem, guys.
All right. Sonwabisi, thank you very much.
Cool. Bye, guys.
Nice to talk to you. Sonwabisi Siwela, who is a GCS listener who lives in New York. And you can hear, things are so different. So incredibly different. It's amazing, too, to see the lights on, you know, in Times Square and nobody's there to see them. I mean, there's some amazing pictures. China should be held accountable in some way, some people saying. What are your thoughts on paying domestic workers who are not coming to work due to the virus? The majority of people I've asked this question seem to think that paying them is the right thing to do. On the flip side, I work in the tourism industry and very soon I will probably have no salary. What to do? Sure. Some harsh realities, Alex. I don't know, but I think, you know, you've got to pay people who are not coming to work because of the virus, and businesses have to absorb those costs. And obviously where they can, cut the costs, keep the thing lean and mean. Otherwise, you might not be in business 5 months from now. I think you've got to pay your domestic worker, whether they're coming in or not. It's almost better for you and for them if you don't have her or him at work, you know, at that time. So that's definitely something to think about. But paying, I think, if you can, you must. There's no question about that. And it's not that's not being altruistic or trying to be a nice person. I think that's just fair. Nothing else. All right, so we're going to get to the burning platform next, which I know you're very excited about. I am. We'll find out from not just Canton Pillay this morning about what he thinks of current affairs, but we will be joined by someone I've wanted to have on the show for the longest time, Mo Sheikh. He has a life story that is much too interesting to ignore. Mo Sheikh, even by his own publisher's estimates, he initially wrote the ANC Spy Bible as a novel, but his team saw through it and wanted to hear the real story straight from the horse's mouth. So he is joining the Burning Platform this morning, first of all to chat about his book, then his colorful political career, his family, what's been happening in politics in the most recent times, and also his take on what this coronavirus thing means. Having been in intelligence and in a number of really interesting roles in government before, I thought Mo would be a really interesting guest to have, and there's no doubt in my mind he's going to deliver. Of course, he's a famous anti-apartheid student activist. In the 70s, he formed an MJK unit, the Mandla Judson Kuzwayo unit in the MK, with his brother Eunice and one other person. He was employed in the National Intelligence Agency from 1994, then Foreign Affairs in 97, and he's the former head of the South African Secret Service. So this is a man who I'm very, very curious to talk to. That's coming up next. It is 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.